Hi, welcome back to another edition of That Millwall Podcast. This is episode number 58. This is being recorded after the Peterborough victory at home, which obviously we won 3-0. And we were sort of glad to beat them, but sort of only if, what if, roll on Bank Holiday Monday. Fulham's just stuffed Luton 7-0. And I've got a feeling it's game on. I wouldn't necessarily say start celebrating yet, but you never know. Anyway, this episode, we have Joe back. Hello, Joe.
Hi, Mickey. How you doing?
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. We have the one and only football guru, Kai Bennett.
Hello, mate. Good to be back and good to talk about victory.
Absolutely. And we have the one and only Chris back as well. So Joe and Chris back by popular demand. Hello, Chris.
Good evening, fellas. You all right?
Yes, mate. I'm all good. I'm all good. So, yes. Right. Let me just move Kai there. There we go. Right. Without further ado, then we're going to crack in. We've got a full schedule tonight. No Omar tonight. But he will be back with us on the next episode. So, without further ado, we'll be back straight after this. Welcome back, part one of episode 58. I'll start with you, Chris. Peterborough, 3-0. Great result. Is it game on again?
I mean, I think we'd have probably all taken 3-0 before the game, and especially at halftime. I think it was a typical performance, wasn't it? The first half was pretty boring. I think Afobe said it in his post-match interview, how we've kind of got used to this bit of a stalemate at halftime, and then we come out second half and really sort of go all guns firing. But I guess it's a case of what could have been. I think, you know, we definitely had the opportunities to get another couple of goals. So it could have been 4 or 5. But you know what? It's just really nice to go to Bournemouth on the last game of the season with, even if it's just a glimmer of hope. I saw on Twitter earlier tonight that our odds to get in the playoffs have come down from 100 to 1 to 33 to 1 after Fulham's 7-0 fresh in the Luton. So do we dare to dream? Don't know. We're always the nearly men, but it's lovely to have something to play for.
Yeah, it was a really nice victory on Saturday. Just like a, it felt almost like a bit of an end of season game when we first came out. Lovely to see the, you know, North Stand have fans in it. I thought it was a superb atmosphere on Saturday as well. And it just, I guess the second half just sort of, I guess, brought the fans into the game almost, because first half it was quite difficult to be, I guess, loud about anything because it was pretty boring first half. But second half, they really turned it on, turned it up a gear, and Bennett scored a great goal. Obviously, little bit of quality from Jed, great ball in. Josh Knight turns into his own net, and then George Saville at the back post. It could have been more, as you said, Chris, but I think everyone would have taken 3-0, as you said. And yeah, definitely feel like the chances are on. I'm the most optimistic of them. So, you know, I'm always going to say it's on, but I think now I've got a few people behind me sort of looking at it that way as well.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think the first half was a bit flat, wasn't it? I think we do that sometimes when we're playing against a team that are of a lower calibre with respect to Peterborough. We kind of matched them a little bit, and we didn't really show our quality. But second half, I think we looked a lot better. We flew out the traps a bit faster. We showed a bit more quality. And after the first goal went in, you can just sort of see us then in control. What was really interesting is the difference that Jed made for us when he came on. I just thought straight away, like, he kind of lifted the team. His quality, both on the ball and off the ball, the way he kind of, you know, motivated his teammates, 2 great assists. I mean, I'll give him the second assist. I think that own goal was from his cross, wasn't it? And yeah, just a much, much better second half. Really enjoyed the second half.
Agreed, Joe. And I think Mason Bennett made a big difference as well. I think Mason Bennett makes such a difference when he's part of the squad. You know, when he came on at Birmingham, I think he put the ball in from the left-hand side. He makes a big difference. But I also want to mention Bart, because I think he made, if I remember rightly, there was a chance in the first half that Clark Harris had where he didn't save, but he sort of come out and did well to put him off. And then I'm sure he made a good save in the second half right at the start. And the thing is, and Rowett said this in his sort of interview around the Player of the Year awards, we've just come to expect this about, like this consistency. And there's been a lot of times this season where we've gone on to win games where when we were level, Bart has made significant saves. And I just thought it's worth raising because, yes, it was 3-0, but so often this season, Bart has made saves at the right time and has helped us sort of maintain kind of a level playing field and go on and allow us to go on to get the win. I think Bart's been fantastic again this season.
No, I fully agree. I think Bart's been a great signing and a great servant for us. He's won the Player of the Year two seasons on the trot, obviously beaten this year by Murray Wallace. But yeah, I mean, you know, the Ipswich fans before he comes said, you're getting yourself a great keeper. And I think he's just moulded himself into that position. I think with Long sitting on the sideline, he's another experienced keeper who we've got waiting in the sidelines. But I just think that Bart doesn't make any mistakes. And unfortunately, Long just hasn't got in, apart from obviously the cup games. But, yeah, no, I agree. And with Bennett. So, yeah. Go on, Chris. What? You've just put something in the group. Go on.
I mean, Keller was a little bit before my time. Like, literally, as I was starting to go down there. But I was just saying, maybe it's a topic for us. I don't know. Just he's Bart up there with the likes of Casey Keller, Tony Warner, the best keepers we've had. Just an interesting debate, I think. I think if he has one more season, then I think you've got to. He's very consistent. He's a superb shot stopper, like genuinely. Yes, he can't kick. Yes, he doesn't like crosses. But everything else, I think he's absolutely fantastic at. And for me, I would put him up there with the likes of Casey Keller and Tony Warner. Joe, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely up there. What's really interesting, I think a lot of Mill fans for different generations will probably agree with this, is that over the years, we've had some really good goalkeepers, but they've never really been exceptional in all areas of goalkeeping. So, for example, I mean, Brian Horn, yeah, back in the 80s, great shot stopper, not very tall, so he wasn't very sort of agile, wasn't particularly great on crosses, I don't think, but he was a great shot stopper. Warner, I think, of anything, I think he was probably better with his feet. I think he had good feet, good composure. I mean, many times, you know, balls just fall back to him and you think, what's he going to do here? He'll have the confidence and the arrogance almost kind of like drop a shoulder and go past a striker and then ask, you know, pass the ball out to a defender. Bart's kicking is not brilliant. His shot stopping is fantastic. Sometimes I love to sort of see him catch balls from crosses, you know, from corners. He tends to kind of like punch them and where it doesn't come out as often as he should do. But that being said, I think people mentioned it, you know, before, if he did have all these other qualities, he'd probably be playing the Premiership, wouldn't he? You know, he wouldn't be playing in the Championship. So I think he suits our setup, you know, the way how Mill will play. We tend to try and play with a fairly kind of like rigid sort of high line where we don't often have a lot of crosses to deal with. The defenders tend to deal with the crosses defensively. So therefore, you need Bart to be called upon from shots from range. And quite often, that's where he's really saved that, doesn't he?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I agree with Chris. I think probably it will definitely be another show. And probably I'll look at maybe getting a couple of the ex-keepers we have to help us decide who, you know, who is, you know, what does it take to be a legend? Especially Kingy would probably be involved. Kingy would get in on that because he is a legend. He is he was a cracking keeper. And yeah, I'd definitely probably speak to Horney as well. Horney would be one to sit there and, you know, par who they are. It'd be good possibly to sit there and see, you know, for a few of our keepers where we would put them in ranking. Yeah, you know, because obviously
Fordy as well. Mickey.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've done a show with Fordy before. It'd be good to possibly see what, you know, see if we can get Fordy and just discuss what makes a legendary keeper, maybe. I don't know. There's a show there, but I've just given the show idea away. But
that'd be a great idea. Oh, I'd love to see it. I'm sure even James will be up for that as well, wouldn't he, I would have thought.
Yeah, maybe. Possibly. It'd be good to do a legend show, wouldn't it? But yeah. with Fulham's result tonight, so unfortunately, if you were trying to avoid knowing what the score was or anything else, unfortunately, we're not the BBC. We don't tell you to turn away now. Fulham beat Luton 7-0. The goal difference now is they're on plus 7, we're on plus 9. They need to win their last game by at least, they need to win their next game, I suppose, to beat us. But if it's a draw, they need to draw to, they don't really need to draw, do they? I suppose it's, they need to score goals, to be fair.
Basically, they can't lose, can they? I think Borough are the only one that can catch them apart from us.
Yeah.
If they draw, it's all over for us because we can't catch them.
Yeah.
But so how are you? Sorry.
Go on.
I was just going to say, I'm right in thinking they've got to now go for the win because
yes.
If they draw and Middlesbrough win, Middlesbrough actually overtake them. Is that right?
Yeah, Borough overtake them because they're at goal difference. They draw, we're out of it, basically. We need them to lose. I think Borough fail to win, Luton lose and we win, we make the playoffs. But obviously then we're also forgetting Sheffield United as well, so we've got a way in that way as well. So, you know, if Fulham can dish out another 7-0 on Saturday, then obviously Borough and Millwall could replace them, both of them, couldn't they? It'd be quite incredible.
I honestly think that Fulham are going to go out finishing strong.
Yes, so do I.
I think they're just going to go out and show the world what they are. I can see that their star player wants to make sure that no one in the Championship for eternity is going to beat his goal-scoring record. And go from there. I think, Sheffield will probably get spanked. Hopefully, Borough gets spanked. And then it's down to us. As I said previous on the show, I would love it to go to the last game of the season and those results on there. Dan Poor posted something quite funny that Bournemouth's first goal is by Jake Cooper, own goal, and then Jed Wallace scores ours. So, on the 89th minute. But hey-ho, we need a win on Saturday regardless. And the Bournemouth, we looked as if it didn't mean nothing, but now potentially Bournemouth is looking as if it's actually going to mean a lot this time. And one of those games that, you're going to wish you were at, especially going forward, if it does all go our way. Go on, Joe.
I just say it's interesting, isn't it? One moment, you got the guys that had the Bournemouth tickets were quite happy to kind of sell the tickets, weren't they, yesterday and the last couple of days. I've seen lots of stuff on social media and tickets being sold, whereas now I'm sure they're all searching their bins and trying to buy tickets back, aren't they, to go, because suddenly we're back in again. And I think it's just a credit to Millwall. It's incredible, really, when you think about it. I mean, to be still in contention of making the playoffs with the last game of the season coming, it's really remarkable because, I think, it's a real, real sort of long outside chance of us making it into the playoffs still. But the fact we're actually in it and then, watching the game next Saturday, knowing that results could go our way and we could possibly make it through, it's just very fortunate to be in this situation. But personally, I don't know, I think it's still going to be tough for us. You can really see like Preston winning or Reading win doing us a favour and us still not quite beating Bournemouth last game of the season, which is typical of Millwall, unfortunately,
No, that's it. Go on, Kai.
I was going to say that with Bournemouth, it's a difficult one because obviously Bournemouth play Forest. I know it'll come out Tuesday, so it'll be tonight when people are listening. But Bournemouth play Forest, so I think Forest win, they go above them. But in a way, you kind of want... It depends which way you think about it, because you could almost want Bournemouth to have nothing to play for and they're already on the beach and they're already up. But if you have that, then you never know if they'll play. Their football might be more expansive because they're not so worried. Or do you want them to have something to play for and they're a bit nervous? But I guess you could look at it both ways, and both ways could suit you better. But then again, both ways could go against you, couldn't they?
Also, Kai, just to add to that, I mean, supposedly they get the result against Forest. That means that they're up then, don't they? If they win tomorrow?
Do
they then rest their key players in preparation for the playoffs? For next season and trial some youngsters that are not quite getting a game at the moment, And therefore, when they play against us, we're playing against reserve players, maybe young players, not necessarily the key players that might be sort of like struggling, holding injuries at the moment. But I don't know if that will work in our favour or against us. I guess the downside of that is if you've got youngsters coming through, what are they going to be doing? They're going to be proving a point. They want to state a claim for a place in the team. So I'm not quite sure which way that would help us if they did beat Forest tomorrow.
No, definitely.
I mean, end of the day, they're footballers, but they're humans, right? If they beat Forest tomorrow, they're going to go on the piss, aren't they? They're going to have a party. They've got to play us. Obviously, we haven't played since Saturday, so we'll have fresher legs, arguably, than what they will. Hopefully, Jed and Mason will be fully fit. So I would take that. I would take Bournemouth being promoted, and then we kind of ruin their sort of homecoming on Saturday. But for me, yeah, of course, we need other teams to do us favours, but it's just about taking care of our own results, right? We need to go to Bournemouth. We need to win by one or two clear goals. And then let's just see what happens. But I think every Millwall fan, there's not a single Millwall fan that'd be watching this that if you'd have asked them at the start of the season, on the last game, going to Bournemouth, you'll be on 69 points with even a smidgen of a chance of getting in the playoffs. I think we'd all taken that. So hats off to the whole club. I think it's a result.
Obviously, we put up some points we wanted to talk about earlier. And one of the ones there, what one of you put in was, have we been punching above our weight this season, or have we underachieved by not being in the playoffs already? We'll go with you, Joe, on that first.
Personally, I think we definitely have been punching above our weights. When you look at the money that we've got to spend on players, on wages, I think we've got like the third or fourth lowest budget in the division. So that says a lot. That shows where we should be, really. We should be, fighting relegation every season. The fact that we're always, the last sort of few years been sort of pushing up towards the playoff sort of areas is fantastic. So I think we definitely are punching above our weights. I know there are some Millwall fans that are saying, well, look, we need progression. We finished eighth last season, whatever it was, and we should be looking to move forward and get into the playoffs. But the fact this is our fifth season, I believe, in the Championship, and then next year will be our sixth season in a row. It's fantastic. I mean, the last time I think we've gone six or more is back when you're talking with your mates on that show, in the late 60s and early 70s. So, we've really, really been sort of punched above our weights. And, I think we've done very, very well.
I agree. I think you're right, Joe. I think we're sort of definitely bottom quartile in terms of budgets. The whole time we finish above that, to me, simple maths dictates that we're punching above our weight. I think the frustrating thing is, I think a lot of fans will be like, it's still so close. Like, if we'd have held on against that game against Luton,
we've got to win against Birmingham.
Or shambles away at Peterborough, or whatever. I mean, there's always lots of all clubs have this, right? Yeah. There's been games that I'm sure that, the point against Birmingham, did we really deserve that penalty? Probably not. So it swings and roundabouts. But one of the other things I kind of want to say about sort of punching above our weight is, there's a lot of players in our team that maybe rejects is a harsh word, but players weren't wanted by other clubs. I mean, it's the truth. So, let's be real here. So
who would you class in that sort of category?
So I'm just making a list. So Obi is one.
Yeah.
13 goals when, he wasn't wanted by Stoke.
Assists as well, isn't he?
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah. Yeah. Savile wasn't wanted by Middlesbrough. It obviously worked out very well for a lot of different reasons, but he wasn't wanted by Middlesbrough. Hutch wasn't wanted by Fulham quite a few years ago, but that's another one.
That's true.
Hooper obviously was let go by Reading. They were happy for him to go.
Yeah.
So there's Jed obviously wasn't by Wolves. I know he was in a higher league. Mason Bennett, Scott Malone. Players that. Maybe rejects is the wrong word, but you get the point I'm trying to make here.
Yeah,
players that weren't wanted by other clubs that we've been able to mould. I think Murray Wallace was at Huddersfield earlier in his career and he was kind of released and then went back down into lower league. So there's a lot of players there. And I think that the club and Rowett need to take some credit for that because they've moulded them into a very good team. I don't think they have many standout players. I think obviously Jed is the obvious one who we'll talk a bit about later in the show, I'm sure. But yeah, so I think it's been a really good season for us. Mm.
And also just to add to that, Chris, as well, the fact we look at two youngsters this season who I think have really developed and really evolved as players, as individuals. You look at Danny McNamara, of course, and Billy Mitchell. These guys were getting a lovely sort of long run of games into the team. And you can see with the run of games that they've had, how that's really helped them, develop as players. And, you know, personally, I would say that they are first team players, that they'd be, might be my best 11. If I picked the best 11, those two would definitely be in it. And it's a credit, you know, to Millwall's youth system, bringing these players through and giving them a chance to sort of play.
Well, you could add Ollie Burke to that list as well, couldn't you? I think second half of the season, I mean, I know he got injured for a little while, but I think he's been superb. Every time he's played, he's looked a real threat. And that game against Birmingham, it was just a little bit, maybe a slightly better service to him, maybe in behind, and maybe slightly better crosses to him and balls in behind. I think he'd have been even more dangerous than he already was. And I thought Saturday he was very good. Peterborough didn't really know how to deal with him. They made one good challenge on him down by the away end. He just, every time he got the ball, he just looked like he was absolutely crazy. Yeah, Chris, you see, fans laughed when we signed him. And also, they also laughed when we signed, it wasn't Sheffield United as well, but it was also QPR. Because I remember that day, the story broke that the Sky Sports journal that tweeted out, QPR is set to sign Oliver Burke. And then he went, oh no, it's actually Millwall. And the QPR fans are all laughing. Oh, thank God it's not us. Thank God it's, whatever. But he's done superb. And I think QPR, looking back, I reckon they would have actually liked to have him now.
Especially with their injuries.
Yeah.
He works so hard. I think he fits in really well to our system. I mean, he's pacey. He's got speed to burn. And, he works hard. You see how he presses, and how hard he works. He sort of really sort of defends from the front sometimes, and that can motivate your teammates as well. When you see him sort of, chasing sort of fullbacks down and centre-backs down and goalkeepers down, it just lifts the rest of the team, And I think having players out on your team is a very positive. You may not be scoring all the time or getting loads of assists, but it's the small things he does, I think, will help the other team, the rest of the team.
Also, don't forget, Bert, Bury as well. I mean, Bury was at Wimbledon. And they beat Stevenage, didn't they? Last game, and he was there and he refused the contract with them. And then come to us, 2019, two years, 3 years on, all of a sudden now he's in the first team and he's pretty much fights for a position. He's either on the team or on the bench. And we only pay compensation, I think, for him.
Good point you made there, Mickey. And also, I was getting my hair cut a couple of years ago and I can't remember the name of the assistant manager at Wimbledon. But I was talking to him, we just had a bit of a chit-chat, and he said, oh, who do you support? I said, Millwall. But the guy said, oh, all right, you've taken our youngster, Bury. And he was quite open and sensible. We didn't want him to go. He's a player for the future, but we couldn't stop him. Millwall come in for him. We've had to let him go. And he was really gutted. He didn't really want him to go. And I didn't really know much about Bury. I knew of him, of course. And we've seen glimpses of his potential. I don't think he's anywhere quite close to being a first team starter at the moment, but give it another sort of season perhaps. We're again like Mitchell and McNamara run of games, hopefully we can start seeing his potential coming to fruition.
I mean, obviously this leads quite nicely into Rowett. Would you, obviously, as far as I know, I don't know, Kai might know more from the insider knowledge being a journo. Rowett's allegedly contract is up in the summer on a rolling contract now where he can go forward and give a month's notice, allegedly. That's what the rumour is. Either him or us can give a month's notice, us as in Millwall. But do you keep him or do you look to replace him? Go with you, Chris.
It's funny because that question almost assumes it's in our hands and we can make the decision.
He can make the decision himself. But I'm just saying, would you want to keep him or would you want to replace him?
I keep him 100%. I think I don't know what I don't know. Right. So there's lots of rumours about he's applied for the West Bromwich Albion job and then didn't get it. And, there's rumours about his man management and all that sort of stuff. But I don't know what's true, right? So I can only go on results and what I see. I think he speaks really well. I think, as we've already just talked, he's done a really good job. I mean, three top half finishes. And, at the end of the day, he set a plan out, a three-year plan. And by the end of that 3 years, they'd be challenging for the playoffs. And he's hit that. So with a small budget. So I'd keep him. Regardless of who's the manager in the summer, there's going to be a huge change in player turnover, I think. I'd like to see him oversee it. Be interesting to see what sort of players him and Alex Aldridge bring to the club. But assuming it's in our, you know, ability to have him at the helm next season, I would. I think it's a be careful what you wish for as well. You know, I always have that Mick McCarthy Ipswich scenario in my head where they, I think they'd finished in the top half 3 or 4 years running, but the football was boring and they wanted him out. They then got him out and then they were relegated the very next season. So, but yeah, that's my view on it. I'd keep him if it's possible for us. But yeah, Kai, what do you think? And I don't know whether, if you know any more in terms of where his head's at the minute.
No, I don't actually know anymore, but I would keep him personally. I think he's done a really good job overall. I know obviously sometimes the football isn't the most attractive football to watch, especially maybe first half of the season. But since that Fulham game where we lost 3-0 and he sort of said there's 17 cup finals to go, I think the football has been better. I know we've spoken about a little bit about how, you know, the injuries might have maybe meant his hand was forced in certain positions and he could sort of found a winning formula rather than looked, sort of found it himself, you know, found it with the players that he had available. But I think the two substitutions on Saturday were really good. The obviously bringing Mason Bennett and Jeb Wallace on then was really good because it just sort of freshened us up a little bit. And every time we scored on Saturday, I know that was, we had to do it anyway, but the players, you could see 3-0 up, Savills scored and they were running back to the halfway line for more. I think that was a much better maybe ethos to have right now. And I think Gary's done a good job and I'd like to see him stay next year. I'd like to see him, what he can do with maybe a lot more players have gone in the summer. So be interested to see what he can do with maybe having to sign more players. Because obviously Harris had that chance, didn't he? What was it? A couple months before he left, maybe. His last trip when he's brought in Mahoney, brought in Bart. And he did a decent job, apart from obviously Jay Bod and a couple others. But I'd like to see what Gary could do there, if he signed 8 or 9 players and a few more attacking players. It'd be interesting to see what he can do.
Joe?
Yeah, I mean, it's a bit of a no-brainer for me. I think he's done fantastic. You know, I'm quite proud to say I've always been like a Rowett in sort of person. I know people have been split on this throughout the season. But he's done great. Again, go back to my first point, you know, with a small budget to play with, he's worked tremendously hard, done a fantastic job with the players available to him. And it's a results business, isn't it? You know, and I guess you're only as good as what the league table says you are. And on that basis, I think he's done a fantastic job. And let's be honest, if he did leave or decide to leave, or we were to get rid of him, who are we going to replace him with? I mean, some people talk about Dyche and a few other names, but I mean, funny, you know, I don't think Dyche would want to come to the Championship, come to Millwall. I think he'd be on way too much more money than that. And he'd be looking to take on a Premiership club or even a club that are seriously challenging in the Championship with a big budget. So on that note, I think, you know, we just got to be, you know, happy to have Rowett and hope that he signs a extension or a new contract or something and we keep being for another season or two and see where we go with it.
I don't like the rolling contract thing, because I was thinking, why is that? Why, you know, where's the commitment either way? Where does that sit? But I think, especially at the minute with the likes of Dyche, Mark Warburton, Tony Mowbray all being out of contract now, where it looks like Tony Mowbray will be anyway, I think Millwall fans will see that and think maybe the grass is greener, like, oh, what could Warburton do with this squad or whatever? And I guess it's a case of stick or twist. I agree with you, Joe. I don't think Dyche would have, as much as, you know, he knows, I think, how much Millwall fans love him and I think Warburton. But I don't think he would be in our pay range. But if it was a choice of keeping Rowett or kind of twisting and going for Mark Warburton or Tony Mowbray,
it's a gamble, isn't it? Yeah,
I would keep Rowett personally. Mm. I've got a few friends that are QPR season ticket holders, and they all say that Warburton plays very nice football in the eye. But I mean, you can only just look at look how they capitulated in the second half of the season. Yeah, they've had injuries, but we all. So be careful what you wish for.
No, I agree with that completely. I think it'll be interesting to see where Rowett goes next. With the fact that there's a lot of players up at the end of this season, loans being done, you know, finishing, etc., etc. It'll be interesting to see who he brings in, what they bring in, whether or not we go after trying to buy some of these loan players if we can get hold of them. So yeah, I think the jury's still out on that. I mean, on that, let's talk about a Afobe there. It comes nicely into a Afobe. Afobe, as you said earlier, 12 goals, 2 assists. He's not the most consistent fella in the world. Some games he looks as if he can't be bothered, and then all of a sudden something just happens and he sticks the ball in the back of the net. And that, you know, the first 60, 70 minutes you're moaning about him going, lazy bastard, and all of a sudden he scores and turns the game on its head. Is it a player you want to keep? Could we afford it?
If I can get him on loan, if we get him on loan, I would say definitely. You know, to be fair, I think if we get Ballard on loan, I'll say yes. If we get Burke again on loan, I'll say yes. You know, Freeman, unfortunately, hasn't had many minutes to kind of show what he can do. But just those three players alone, Ballard, Burke and Afobe, I'll say, yeah, 100%. If we get him on loan next season, get him in. To sign him, if we did somehow do something on a free deal to get him on board, I think Chris mentioned it on the last episode we did, unless he's willing to take a massive pay cut on his wages, I can't see us sort of paying whatever it is he's on. I know he's on a decent amount to get him in. But he's almost tried and tested. I quite like the idea of him being tried to. We know what he can bring. He can score a few goals for us. I don't think Bradshaw probably would have scored as many goals if it wasn't for Afobe being up there with him. So it's helped Bradshaw bag a few goals as well. Yeah, I think you kind of know what you get with Afobe, don't you? And I think it'd be a good bit of business if we could try to get him back on again, whether that be another season's loan or on a perm, a decent sort of deal for us.
Yeah, agree, Joe. And I think if the commercials work, I would definitely have him back, whether it's a loan, permanent, whatever. I think in his post-match interview on Saturday, he kept referring to we. So like he's like, next pre-season, we'll go in knowing what we can do here and stuff like that. So he's talking. I mean, he's always said all the right things. We know that. Whether that's 100%. Or whether he just knows how to play the crowds, I don't know. But either way, he knows what he's doing, and fair play to him. So he talks about being here next season. I also think he's quite a grounded chap in the sense that if he's on 40 bags a week at Stoke, whether he's got that for another year because that's his contract or not, he knows he's not getting anywhere near that after this year. So maybe it's a case of, you know, drop down to 15 and get a 3-year deal at Millwall or whatever. But he's at home there. You know, obviously, he likes it down here. That's obvious for everyone to see. So I think it makes sense. The only thing I'd add finally to that is I think the Birmingham game summed him up perfectly, because after about 60, 70 minutes, he had the opportunity to go in hard with a goalkeeper where the keeper messed up, and he kind of bottled the challenge. And I just see Twitter erupt with sort of fans whinging about him. And then he goes, and I personally wouldn't want to bloody do it. In the 98th minute, like superb penalty, bottom corner when we needed him most. And I don't know, that game for me just sort of summarised Afobe since he's come back to us. So, I don't know what you think, Kai.
No, I'd definitely take him. Arguably, I think he probably should be on more goals. Gary said this a couple of times. He probably should be touching 17, 18, really. The amount he's had a couple of good chances, maybe he's missed or they've been quite fallen to him right. And then you have to look at the time he's out. I think he's been out for 6-7 games as well. Hasn't started a few. If he was fit the whole season, I reckon he might have hit 17-18 goals, which, you know, striker in the Championship is very respectable. And if he's banging in 18 goals for Millwall, I don't think we've had when was the last time we had a 20 goal a season striker? Was it Morrison maybe?
Morrison.
In the Championship maybe?
Or Gregory. Morrison, yeah.
I don't think Gregory got, because I know Morrison got 13, I think, in one of his last seasons with us. Maybe when he first, I don't know. Yeah, he got 13. But if Bennett scores 17, 18 goals in a season, it's a pretty good return, isn't it? If he probably where he should be roughly about. So I'll definitely keep him.
I mean, while we're on that, talking about signings and players and all that, areas that need strengthening in, we'll go you first, Kai. Areas that need strengthening. Or we need to be looking at for next season?
Attack. There's plenty of players out of contract, isn't it? I think obviously Jed's right winger. I think probably need to go after someone like, but it depends which formation you play, because that's the whole thing about Alex Aldridge coming in, isn't it? With maybe as a football director, we have almost like an ethos we're gonna stick to. And if you're gonna play the four, I guess the 5-2-3 with someone in behind the front two, then maybe you go after more of a central attacking midfielder where Jed and Burke have been playing recently, and less for wingers, maybe. It depends if you're gonna play narrow or wide. But I'd definitely just go after attackers generally. Maybe a couple strikers, two. I'd like to see, depends if Bennett comes back in, depends if Burke stays. But I'd like to see at least 2-3 strikers come in. Because I feel like we never really replaced, I know they didn't do well, especially Bovarsson, but Smith and Bovarsson were never actually replaced, were they? So I'd like to see, you know, a couple of people replaced for them, basically. And then I think we're pretty stacked in the midfield, unless Keefton Bell goes, potentially. But I'd like to see another defender come in if we can't bring Ballard in. But yeah, plenty of business to go on in the summer.
Yeah, I mean, I think defensively, although we will need cover if Ballard leaves, I think we've got players that can play in that position. So you're looking at, you know, Murray Warriors can sort of get in the back three with Cooper, Hutch. You've got Leonard that could play centre-back. You know, will Alex Mitchell return next season? Perhaps he can get a start or get a couple of games at the back as well. Midfield, I think we've got quite a lot of midfielders. I think Mitchell, we've got Saville, Leonard. If Keith Bell stays, I'm not quite sure. But I think you're right there, Kai. In attack, we definitely need some players. I mean, obviously, if Jed leaves, it's a massive hole to fill there. I don't know. When we play that front three, sometimes when you've got playing the three rather than Jed behind the two, I notice he tends to play Bradshaw in the middle and he kind of puts a phobia on the left side. Yeah. And although he could do a job there, I really don't feel we're kind of utilising him well enough, because he's having to kind of track back a little bit at times, where I don't think that's quite his game, is it? You almost want him and Bradshaw playing together as a partnership, and then the third player playing behind them. At the moment, I can only see Jed playing in that position. I think Burke's played there sometimes, Bennett's played there sometimes, Bury has as well. But I don't think they've been as effective as Jed has been. So it'd be interesting to see what happens next season. If Jed does go, what does Rowett do with regards to players bringing in? So, you know, I think you're right. Definitely some more attacking players. But what type of attacking player we get, I don't know. Depends how he wants to play the system, to be honest with you.
Chris?
Yeah, so I think it'll be interesting to see how many of the players that have been out on loan this season / younger players Rowett deems good enough to be in and around the first team squad. So obviously you've got Bury that will be, but the likes of, you mentioned Alex Mitchell, Hayden Muller, who's there, but obviously not making the squad.
Why do you think he's not getting a look in?
Just a personal view, I don't know, but I would say that he sees Leonard as a very flexible player, and he'd rather have more attack-minded players on the bench given where we are in the season and what's there for us. That's just my personal view, which makes sense, I suppose. I don't know anything about Muller. I've seen him play a couple of times, but I don't know anything about him. Kai, maybe you do. But so I think Alafi as well, like, will Tanto come back into the squad?
Yeah.
Is he a ready-made replacement?
Great shout, yeah.
For some of the strikers that we have there. But so I think that is a big thing. Every player we seem to be linked to is like a number 10, a centre attacking midfielder. With that Elliot Anderson, we linked to a lot of the lads in Europe. So quite clearly, he wants to sign one of those. It's also clearly not going to be Ojo, because he's... I find that bizarre. He comes back. He could have stayed at Liverpool. He comes back, does his rehab here, and then he's not played 1 minute of football, I don't think. I think he came on against Stoke, didn't he? And then that's been in, which I find a little bit bizarre. So I think there's that. And then the final thing I'd say as well is I do think we're going to need centre-back reinforcements, because if we don't get Ballard back, I'm pretty sure Pearce is not going to be offered another playing contract.
I'll be very surprised if Pearce is there next season.
So that kind of leaves you with possibly the bare bones plus some inexperience. So I think we probably need another centre-back. We've gone all season really without actual left and right wing back like replacements. Murray Wallace does a job there. Leonard does a job there. That's not their natural position. So I think overall the squad needs more depth. I don't think we've got a particularly big squad, and that showed with some of the injuries. So I can see us looking to bring five or six players in the summer, genuinely, on top of the youth.
And we've got eight players out of contract end of the season, I think,
isn't it? Yeah, I could see 10 players coming in, like the Harris season, where we really do rebuild.
Interesting summer window potentially then to come back.
Quite exciting, isn't it, as well? When you think about it, it can be quite exciting summer for us.
We've obviously looked at where we need to strengthen, but what sort of player do you want? Do they need to be a special sort of player? I don't want to go on the cliche of we need a Millwall sort of player, but what's the definition of a Millwall sort of player to each of you? We'll start with you, Chris. What's your definition of a Millwall player?
I think the absolute bread and butter has to be someone that clearly, evidently gives absolutely everything for the shirt. And I know every club will say that, but I do genuinely think our club is unique, where if you don't, you'll get found out very quickly. And there's been a lot of players with a lot of talent that have come to this club, but have been found out very quickly because they are not consistent in that number one core thing. So I think that is something. The only thing, and I mentioned this in our sort of WhatsApp chat earlier, is the type of player that we might need that will unlock defences next year, that number 10, I think they are going to blow a bit hot and cold. I think that's just the nature of that style of player. And I think that's quite different to what we're used to. And I think it'll be interesting to see how the fans take to that, because it's not going to be I'm going to contradict myself slightly. He might give everything, but he's not going to be like someone that grafts and chases back constantly, but he's going to be that player that can maybe have that one bit of magic and can, like a defence splitting pass. So it'd be really interesting to see where the recruitment goes.
A bit like a Phoebe.
Well, yeah.
Phoebe can, some games he looks lazy, he doesn't want to run back. And then other games, it's just that one pure bit of, you know, class where he puts the ball through and it gets finished and it's great. Or
Look at Luton, Mikhail.
Yeah, 1-2. Yeah.
Look at Luton. He did nothing. And I you know, some of the fans in the crowd were saying, you lazy person, blah, 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 blah.
More explicit than that, wasn't it, really? Yeah.
Yeah, well, maybe. And then his finish was unbelievable. Like, first time, bottom corner, absolutely superb. I think that sums it up, didn't it, Mickey, what you were saying there?
Yeah, Kai?
My view is that, as Chris said, they give everything. Maybe they put their head where other players don't want to. I'd almost use Thompson as that sort of example. But I guess most important thing is that they have that real connection with the fans as well. I think if you look at players that have really done well recent years, I mean, players like a Thompson had a really good connection with the fans. Jimmy Abdu, I think, had a really good connection with the fans. And even a sort of a player, obviously he didn't play for us for very long, but the fans loved him. That Danny Shittu, you know, he was so strong. He'd give everything. He put tackles in. He'd win headers. I know he's big lad anyway, but just everything, you know, that connection with the fans is really, yeah. He had his own phrase as well. Yeah, that shows how much the fans loved him, doesn't it?
I had a t-shirt, mate.
Yeah, I had a t-shirt with it. So, no, I think that probably sums it all up in terms of that connection with the fans and just giving their all. I think that's a real Millwall type player.
So,
yeah, I agree with both Chris and Kai there. I think it's quite obvious, really. You need, you know, a typical Millwall player is somebody who plays for the badge, plays for the shirt, gives it 100%, very determined, aggressive, you know, in their play. And if you look over the years of what these players are, you're looking at likes of Rhino, you know, Hurlock, Les Briley, you go through Alex Ray, Ben Thatcher, Tim Cahill, you know, all these sort of players would literally run through walls, wouldn't they? And die, you know, for the club. Is that what we need going forward? You know, it's great to have these players that will give 100%, and they're probably not always the most technically gifted players, but do we get to a point now where we've reached a time, you know, where we're challenging for the Premiership, where we might need that little bit more quality now, and less you know, of the kind of typical, dare I say, Mill type player. I mean, what do you think?
Well, I think you're right. I mean, we don't, you know, us as fans always love an underdog player as such. Hence why Murray Wallace is one player of the season this year. He might not be the best. He's definitely not getting in the Scotland team. Fuck knows why. But he's up for everything. You know, he's in when we need him to score goals. He'll score goals. When we need him to, you know, take a tackle for the team, he'll take a tackle. He is a superb player. And also, give or take, obviously, Bournemouth away. But this is the first season since 1988 that we've not had a red card all season.
Wow. That surprised me, yeah.
Plenty of yellows, but not any reds. So, yeah. I think that's probably a point where we will end part one. We're not going to be talking about Bournemouth. I believe there's going to be a show later this week where we look into Bournemouth in a lot more detail and part of the season on a stat-based show with Omar and Kai later on in the week, or maybe me and Kai later on in the week, or maybe some of the guys. But we'll come back to Bournemouth towards the end of the week. But what we will do is, this next break is slightly longer than normal, but there'll be a... I recorded a special show last week with four members of the 71-72 team. And it's available, if you've not already seen it, on our YouTube and on the pod called Lions of the Den. It's a great show. Listen, I wasn't even born then, but it was a fantastic show to be involved in. At some points, I did feel like a spare prick at a wedding, just listening. These guys hadn't been in touch, in contact, all in one place for best part of 20 years plus. And when they got together, it just flowed. The camaraderie, it was as if they'd never, you know, the team spirit, it was as if they'd never been apart. So we're going to break for part one, then we're going to finish in part two with a bit of a controversial subject to a degree. I'm going to ask these guys, is Jed Wallace a Millwall legend or just a good player? We'll be back after this. See you in a bit.
Bad ankle, but Benny said to Jack, bandage him up and send him out. And that day, you remember, Doug, Charlie Vaughan said that's the best first half performance I've ever seen. And Trevor Hockey, he was running round in circles and they couldn't find him when they was going off at half time. He was at the dog track.
Was that when we beat him 6-2?
Yes, that's right. Yeah. And that was when Charlie turned around and said to us, that's the best first half performance I've ever seen.
I'll tell you what, there's a name from the past, Charlie Vaughan. He was a good player, Charlie, by the way.
I reckon he was the best uncapped centre forward.
Oh.
And do you know, Dougie, do you know he was a religious man?
No, I didn't know.
Nor did I.
No.
One of the fellas in the flower market, one of the other governors, Charlie used to go into the school to do coaching. And this fella, Bev Moss, he said to me, do you know Charlie Vaughan was a religious man?
Oh.
I said, well, I don't. I said, but I always remember, he never swore, did he?
No,
He would always shout out, bloody blimey, whether it was you, me, or Frankie Peterson, or Dan. Yeah. Instead of shouting out, you stupid whatever, it was bloody blimey, Stevie Brown, or bloody blimey, Dougie Alder.
Yeah,
you remember that. He was
so played as well, didn't he, Derek?
He was at Chelsea, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was
a nice fella, Charlie.
Yeah.
But that day, Trevor Hockey, he didn't know where he was going because of Keith Weller. Keith absolutely murdered him.
And there's a name, mate, Keith Weller. What a player.
What a player he was indeed.
If we'd have had Keith Weller that year, as we said before, we would have gone up because he'd have made a big difference to our team. Yeah. He was
wonderful.
You know, if you'd have had Briggio and Poss up the middle there and Keith just sitting in the old behind, I mean, blimey. What team that would have been, wouldn't it?
Welcome back, then. Hopefully you enjoyed that snip of the 71 team, please do go watch it on YouTube or as a pod, and I hope you enjoy it as much as I did recording it. I am going to pick you, Joe, first, and I got into a bit of debate on Twitter the other day, and I do understand that this is probably a generational thing, possibly. I think Jimmy Abdu is a legend. He's in the top 10 appearances. He'd done 10 years with the club. He won Player of the Year twice on two different years apart, not consistent, 2 years on the trot, two different points. He scored the winning goal against Leeds for the playoff final, which obviously we went on and won against Swindon. And he was loved by Millwall fans up and down the country. Now, Jed Wallace is a good player. No taking away from him. Without him this season or the last season, we would probably be in a bit of doo-doo. But he's never won Player of the Year for whatever reason. Has he had any standout historic moment for us? Yes, he scored the final goal when we beat Leeds 4-3, but it was only a league game, not a cup game. And is Jed Wallace a Millwall legend, or is he just an outstanding player who we've been lucky enough to have? Start with you first, Joe.
I would say he is a very, 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 very good player. Is he a Millwall legend? I would say no, unfortunately. If he was to sign, you know, a new contract and spend over three or four seasons with us, maybe until we kind of get to his sort of early 30s and we win a promotion or get to a playoff final and he contributes to that, then perhaps, yeah. But I agree with you there, Mickey. I don't think he's done enough, really, despite him scoring, you know, goals and creating so many assists for us each season, being quite consistent with it. I don't think he's really done enough to warrant that title. Like you say, like Jimmy Abdu, I think fully deserves that title. I think you go back even further to the likes of Terry Hurlock. When I was a kid watching Mill in the late 80s, I think he gets it. I think Neil Harris deserves that title. But ever since Neil Harris, I don't think there's anyone at the moment that's kind of really sort of got to that point where you say, yeah.
Steve Morrison, you could understand with Steve Morrison maybe scoring the winner at the playoff final, but again, I don't think that was probably enough to make him a Millwall legend. If we were right now and we had the Millwall Hall of Fame, what's been talked about for years and years and years, Jimmy would get my vote. If it was between Jimmy and Jed, Jimmy would get my vote all day.
Oh, yeah. But then, like, you look at Tim Cahill. He was fantastic for us. You know, he scored the important goal in the semi-final against Sunderland at Old Trafford, you know, and what a player he was for us. And again, he's a very, 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 very good player as well. But is he a Millwall legend? I don't know. Some would argue and say, yes, personally, I liked him. I didn't think he's quite in that sort of bracket. And I don't think Morrison is either, unfortunately. People talk about, you know, Barry Kitchener being a Millwall legend. I wasn't around to watch him play, but the older generation, my father-in-law used to watch him back in the day, would say that, yes, he is, because he was just a fantastic player and probably...
And he played over 600 and something games for Millwall. And exactly. He had the opportunity to go anywhere else, and he never did. As you know, in that show, what I did last week with those 70s heroes, they really do talk about him. But so in your view, Jed Wallace... Good player, he's not a Millwall legend.
That's right, exactly. Sorry, Jed, if you're listening, but
we love you.
I love you. I'd love you to sign a new contract. But yeah, at the moment you haven't quite done enough for me. That's just my opinion, unfortunately. Yeah.
I've heard a rumor before that he does listen. So look, this isn't anything against you.
You know, I'll take that back. You know, he is a bit of a Millwall legend after all. You know. Is it too late for April Fools? What month is it?
Kai, what's your thought? Listen, right? We know that a few players, we've been told that there's a few players will listen to us. We know that Millwall, some of the people inside Millwall listen to us. So this isn't in any way disrespectful to you, Jed. You've been an absolute servant to us. We appreciate everything you've done. You're fantastic. But I don't think you're there yet. I think maybe another couple of seasons and you would definitely see yourself in there. But right now, I don't think he is. And it's got nothing to do with you not signing your contract or signing your contract. It's just, I just don't think you've ticked enough boxes to be there yet. Kai, you're the younger generation, closer to the age I was arguing with online the other day. So what's your view? Millwall legend or just an outstanding player?
See, it's difficult for me because since I've been a Millwall fan, so I've been going Millwall since 2006, roughly. So over that time, Jimmy, legend. But then, is there any other legends? I mean, obviously Harris, another one. I've just managed to catch him before he retired. Tony Craig, potentially. I don't know. Tony Craig, potentially.
I wouldn't say that. I think you can make a case for him off of Morrison than Craig, I would say.
Yeah. It's difficult, isn't it? It's difficult
to pick, isn't it?
But yeah, who you put into that sort of bracket. I guess because Craig came back quite a few times. I mean, you know, played quite a few games. But then again, as you're right, you know, maybe Robbo definitely in there for me. I don't know. In terms of, I guess, quality, Jed is up there in terms of the best players I've seen at Millwall. Just because of, you know, we have legends like Harris and we have legends like Jimmy Abdu. And even though they gave their, you know, they worked their socks off all game and that was, you know, superb. They were superb for the club. I think Jed sometimes, you know, gives us that moment of quality that maybe other players haven't over the years, if that makes sense. See, Harris scored some really important goals, but Jed almost sort of, I guess, finds a way sometimes to just take the game away from the opposition. And, you know, you can almost sum that up as Morrison almost. Like, Morrison wouldn't do anything all game, but then he'd score a really important goal later on. And you'd be thinking, brilliant, let's not take him off. Same with Jed. If we're 1-1 or it's 0-0 or 1-0 down, I never understand taking Jed off, because if we get a free kick in the last minute or you know, something like that, Jed whips the ball, you know, Jed scores. You know, Jed scores, you know, he's got a lot of free kicks for us over the years. It's not worth taking him off, because just in case you get that chance. So I am going to go with Jed's probably not a legend for the club, but he's probably closer for me than maybe others, just maybe because of my age.
Yeah, okay. Coming in, Chris. Is Jed Wallace a Millwall legend or just a fucking outstanding player?
I think he's one of the best players I've seen in a Millwall shirt in my sort of 30 years. He has won games for us single-handedly. I think you can be honest and say that. Some of his free kicks in the last couple of years, he's done that for us. I think he's a leader. I think you can see it on the pitch. Everyone watches and watches what he does.
I know exactly where you're going with this. Go on.
I think he's a model professional on and off the pitch.
Absolutely.
He conducts himself exemplary from what I see. And he's a genuine top bloke to boot. Is he a Millwall legend for me? Not quite. I think it takes the meaning away of what a legend is, and it dilutes it if you have too many. I think it depends on what the criteria of a legend is. I don't think it's just because they're the best player or because they played so many games or because they've scored a vital moment, because then you'd have Morrison in there or whatever, and he divides things. So I think when you add all those things together, he's not quite a legend. He's in that next bracket. I was thinking about this whilst you were chatting, and I only caught the tail end of this person's career for Millwall, but I looked at the goals and the amount of games that this person played for Millwall, and I think he's in a very similar bracket, but we might just forget. And I wouldn't class this person as a legend. I'm talking about Alex Ray. So Alex Ray wasn't a striker, scored 1 in 3-ish for us, over 200 appearances. A fantastic player for the club. Is he defined as a Millwall legend? I don't think he is. He's probably
interesting point, Chris. Just what you mentioned there is when you think about what Alex Ray did in regards to goals, appearances, and everything else. And you're right. Yeah, you know, I don't think he probably deserves a title as a Millwall legend. But yet, Terry Hurlock, people probably, I say 80% or 90% of Millwall fans would say that he is a Millwall legend. Now, what has Terry Hurlock done more or better than Alex Ray has done, other than being part of the team that got promoted to the old First Division. I mean, he wasn't really known for his goal scoring, didn't really sort of create many chances. I mean, he did leave us and then go to Southampton, I think it was, wasn't it? And then Rangers and stuff. So, you know, if anything, I think Alex Ray probably did as good, if not, you know, a better job maybe for his goal scoring. Pedro, so what is that difference? How do you define that Mill legend status in that case? If you compare those two players, how do you compare him?
I mean, I wasn't around for when Terry Hullett played, so I can't really comment, to be honest. I'll have to ask my old man. But from what I hear, it was just the way he played the game, and he just epitomised the kind of Millwall fan, but on the pitch.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think it's a really good point, Joe. But I just wanted to bring Alex Ray up because I was like looking at what
they were
when you were here.
That
was kind of, to me, very, very similar. And I was like, right, well, I class Alex Ray as a legend? Probably not. Then therefore, Jed, I can't
either. Absolutely. Yeah.
Jed signed a new 3-year deal tomorrow and then end up racking up free 350 appearances for the club.
Yeah.
Continued the same vein where he is now, whether we got promoted or not, then yes, I would.
Yeah.
Not quite there yet.
To sign the contract, basically.
Yeah,
Jeff, watch him, mate. Get your pen out.
Right, I think we're going to draw that to a close now. I think we've got a show there, mate. Of doing that at some point, mate. I think we're going to do a show on the legends. Realistically, I think we could look at who would you class as a legend or not over the last 20 years? Because I wouldn't class Matty Lawrence is a legend, but the club does, personally. And I think there's a few players there where we look. Maybe we look at creating our Hall of Fame as such. And
a Millwall Legends team from 1 to 11?
Yeah, I think so. We'll do that as a show in a couple of weeks because it comes out of season. We're coming out of season soon and we'll do that. And maybe we'll follow it up with something on Twitter Space. Or if you've got an opinion and you think some players who you think are a legend disagree with us or whatever, then drop us a DM and maybe we'll bring you on a show going forward, give you your 5 minutes to state your point and see if you can convince some of these on the panel. But look, that's it. That's another show done and dusted. That was show 58. We'll be back later in the week where we will be talking about Bournemouth. Hopefully you've enjoyed this. I know you normally go all excited when Chris and Joe were on last time. There is the one viewer or listener who I really can't remember who you are at the minute, but you always message me. And I didn't say the C word tonight, so hopefully that's made you happy. And there has been very, very few expletives. So I blame that on Omar. He will be here back next game. Thank you very much for listening. Again, check out the past shows we've done. You can find them all there. Follow us across social media. Follow us on TikTok because, unbelievably, we are still going massively viral with one video and the comments on that video are well worth looking at. And I think that's it. We're done. So join us again. Appreciate your time listening to us and this debate. I've got a feeling we'll run and run. See you again.